The book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15 is where we'll start this morning with our text verse. And we'll be looking at the New Testament church, the New Testament church. It was started by Jesus Christ, was given its order of service by Him. He said that He loved the church. Scripture says He loved the church and gave Himself for it. He loves us. And He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, by the love that ye have one for another." He taught us to love one another. He taught us to operate the New Testament church. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Paul was concerned that Timothy know how to behave himself in the church. He wanted him to know God's purpose and plan for the church. And 1 and 2 Timothy are called the pastoral epistles, and he's given instruction to Timothy on how to handle the situations of the New Testament church, the qualifications of a pastor, and so forth. And so he was concerned that Timothy know the importance of the New Testament church, and he said that it is the pillar and ground of the truth. This word pillar is only used four times in the New Testament, and in that times it's two times to believers, one here about the church and another one in reference to a mighty angel. It has the meaning, pillar has the meaning of a prop or a support, or holding something up. It is holding something up. If you look in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, you have one use of it here concerning believers. It says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." They were considered pillars in the church. They were holding up the work of the Lord. They were maintaining the standards of the New Testament church that was taught by our Savior Himself. The word ground also has the meaning of a stay, or a prop, or a support, or a foundation. Its meaning is that it is firm, it's steadfast, it's unmovable. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It is to keep sound doctrine. We live in the days of synchronism. Say, what in the world is synchronism? Well, synchronism can be defined as compromise, as accepting other beliefs and practices into one's faith. Synchronism, to explain it, maybe this way you can understand it, that when Catholicism became a major religion in the world, there were many churches that just brought in some of the teachings of Catholicism and Mary worship into their own services. When evolution became to the surface by the scientists, there were many churches that took on the belief that the 6 days of creation, God used evolution. They denied the Bible's literal interpretation of evening and morning, which has to be a 24-hour day, and they went to believe in what is called theistic evolution. They just developed that. Instead of taking a stand for the Scripture, they just simply went along with the scientific field of that day and developed theistic evolution. There are some that as we have lived in our country here, and standards have greatly reduced in this country. The standards of Americans have greatly reduced. Well, there are churches who have just developed the standards of the world. They're like the world. They call it the market-driven church. In other words, they move to look like and act like the world to attract the world. And that's what we call synchronism. It's just going right along with the accepted standards. There's the emerging church today. What is the emerging church? Well, it has to do with the inner self and psychology. And so psychology teaches one thing, so we just take psychology and we pull it over into the church, and some of psychology doesn't quite line up with the scriptures, but we will forsake that, and we will go along, synchronism. Then we come to the megachurch. Megachurch is in the area of entertainment. If we're going to keep people, we're going to have to entertain them. We've got to make the church into some type of an entertainment thing in order to keep people and to keep their attention. And after all, you can't sit down and watch the television without everything just fast pace, and it moves you right on, and you just get into something and whoa, it goes to something else. And so we've got to move the church the same way. We've got to keep it going. We've got to move it like that. That's the emerging mega church idea. And they move to what's called relativism instead of absolutes. We even have preachers today who are saying that the Word of God is only interpreted as you interpret it. For you, it might say one thing, but for me, it says something else. The Word of God is basically interpreted through your own ideas and how you want to take it. That's relativism. That is not absolute. The Word of God is absolute. It's clear and dry. I mean, it's black and white. Just look at your Bible. It's black and white. It's clear. It's easy to read, and it is clear in what it says. But we're living in the days when these new ideas, synchronism, is taking over. We have the new Christianity. We have the embracing of false doctrines and bringing them into the church, and where there's the idea of no real authority. There's no real authority in the local church today. And we actually have churches who are cooperating with Muslims, who are cooperating with Jews, who are cooperating with Buddhists, who are cooperating with Hindus, and trying to bring it all together and basically saying that, yes, we have our way of salvation in the church and Christianity, but Christianity now can be all-inclusive, and we can realize that these others have their faith as well, and that they also can come into the kingdom of God through their belief. Well, they disagree with what Jesus taught. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I present these things to you to show you that we live in some times when Christianity is changing. If you say that you're a Christian today, it can have a broad meaning that you are acceptive of all kinds of faith. We are believers in Jesus Christ, and we stand for the Word of God. And this word, the pillar and ground, these words that are used, pillar and ground of the truth, have the idea that the church is the pillar and ground. It's made up of believers who stand for the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Let me read you some verses. For time's sake, we won't go to these verses, but let me read them to you. Psalm 33 and verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Psalm 119, verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. That's when Daniel was seeking wisdom from the Lord and praying. John 1:14. And the Word, referring to Jesus, was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 14:6, we already quoted, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 2 Corinthians 6:7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you just turn over there and look at verses 1 through 5, he exhorted Timothy about this thing of preaching the word and staying with the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Then if you look over in the book of Jude, Jude warns us here, in the book of Jude, verse 3 of the book of Jude, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You say, Pastor, why did you go through all that? Because today we are being told in many churches that the gospel is all-inclusive. The gospel is all-inclusive. And the gospel, by that meaning that Muslims are saved because of their faith. Hindus are saved because of their faith. Buddhists are saved because of their faith. But that isn't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the only way any person is saved, whether they're Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Hindu, whatever, the only way anyone is saved is personal faith in Jesus Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church has this commission to be the pillar and ground of the truth, to stand for the church. All as we look at the church and the teaching of the church in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well, as we're going to see here very shortly, the church is not a place of entertainment. It was never set up to be a place of entertainment. But instead, it is a place where the Word of God is preached. It's not a place to be made to feel good. This is not a place designed by God to make you feel good. It wasn't designed for that purpose. It's a place to grow you in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Now, we're going to go back into the Old Testament. The Bible says the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And we're going to look at this word pillar in the Old Testament. There are several Hebrew words that are translated pillar. One of them is translated 19 times as image. And so what we have in this word pillar, it gives us a picture of the church, the way that the church is supposed to operate. We can get a picture of that in the New Testament. We can look at these words pillar, and we can see some of the responsibilities that we have as a church. The Bible was written for our learning, for our admonition. The Bible tells us that we are to take the Word of God, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so we go back and look at this word pillar, back to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. We're going to look at the word pillar in the Old Testament and get a very clear teaching on what the New Testament church is supposed to be and supposed to be doing. The pillar and ground of the truth. Here, we look at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. Notice the scripture here talking about a certain place. And tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me out bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. As long before the law was ever given. See, the church, the work of the church, is to be supported by tithes and offering. Malachi 3. If you don't give the tithe and the offering, you rob from God. Some people say, you know, well, I give the tithe and I give a little offering. Well, you're doing what's required in the Scripture. Real giving is when you give above the tithe and the offering. That's real giving. That's the giving that you are giving from out of the love of your heart. The tithe, the 10%, and the offering above that, an offering above that, is required in the Scripture. Very clear. Jesus said these ought to be done. Matthew 23 and verse 23. And the work of the church is to be supported by tithes and offerings. One of the things we're finding in the mega churches is that they're running into financial difficulty. You say, well, all those people that they have in the mega churches, 10,000 and more coming to these churches, but if you're not going to teach the Word of God, you're not going to teach people how to give, God's not going to prosper that. God has promised to bless us. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. He said it will be overflowing if we will do what we need to do. So the church is a place where we give the tithe and the offering. We don't say a lot about giving here because you folks are good givers. And we support a lot of missionaries here at Calvary and support as many missionaries as we have people. And that's quite an accomplishment. And God blesses our church for it. And He has blessed us. And He's blessed us as individual families. But the work of the church is to be supported by tithes and offerings. That's found there in the Old Testament scriptures. Let's go to Genesis chapter 31. A lot more could be said about that, but if I say a lot more there, I won't get to the rest of these things. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 13. People don't like to hear preaching about giving today. They don't like to hear about tithing. They say that's Old Testament. They say that's under the law. They say that we don't look at it that way anymore. And well, the Bible is very clear on the issue. We need to stay with the Word of God. We're not syncretists. We're people who live by the Word of God. Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Here we find that it's a place where Jacob vowedest a vow. It's a place where we make commitments to serve the Lord. That's what the church is. It's a place where we should be making commitments to serve the Lord. Look in chapter 31 and verse down to verse 52. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Jacob there was, Laban had not treated him fairly, and when he left, he came after him, and the Lord intervened and stopped Laban from his purpose, and they set up this pillar as some stones as a witness. And so it is a place where we make commitments. We make commitments to serve the Lord. Look in 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings, and we'll be coming back to Genesis, but 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 3. 2 Kings 23 and verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. That was Josiah. He stood by a pillar. And the church is a place, as we examine the word pillar in the Old Testament, of where we make commitments to serve the Lord. There should be some decisions made when we're in church and we hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Look in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 7. Genesis 35 and verse 7. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. That's God of the house of God. Because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And this is Jacob and Esau. Look down to verses 13 to 15. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel, or house of God. And so the church is a place where God speaks to our hearts. It should be a place where God speaks to our hearts. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to have God speak to our hearts from His Word. That we would get something from the Word of God. And it would speak to our hearts and guide us and give us direction for our daily living. Look in the book of Exodus chapter 33, verses 9 and 10. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man, notice what it says, in his tent door. You see, the church should cause us to worship in our homes, not just in a praise and worship service at church. What we see in many churches today is a big hoopla in the church and then nothing for Christ in the week. We are to be living for Christ in our homes. The church should be encouraging us to be Christians 7 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We are living for the Lord. We are taught that. It's not just a big hoopla praise service here to pump us up and give us a pep talk and then send us out to be just like we were and never do anything for Christ. The church is to be there to encourage us to live our lives for Jesus Christ. Then look in chapter 35 and verse 20. Chapter 35 and verse 20. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. The church is there to assist us in the burial of the dead. So why did you mention that one, Pastor? Because it's turning from that. Many people are no longer going to the church for funerals and for assistance when people die, being left out. But the church is there to assist us in the burial of the dead. Look in chapter 13 and verse 21 of Exodus. Chapter 13, the book of Exodus, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The church is to give the guidance of the Word so that people can know how to walk pleasing to God. I've read where some of the contemporary and mega churches today are teaching, don't mention about sin. We shouldn't be mentioning sin. We shouldn't mention iniquity. We need to focus on the positive things and not be talking about sin. But the Bible teaches us that we are to preach against sin. Look in Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Joshua 1:8 tells us that we are to meditate therein day and night in the Word of God. And in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 14, the book of Numbers chapter 14 and verse 14, "And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night." And then the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 12. "Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go." And look at verse 19. "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." The church ought to be preaching the Word of God and teaching people in the way to go, the way to live. It's a responsibility of the local church. Then look in Exodus chapter 14 down to verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and notice this, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Egypt is a type of the world in the Bible. And we notice when we look at this word pillar in the Old Testament that the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church should be troubling to the world. The church is not to please the world, but to trouble it. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We're to come out and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. The church is a trouble to the world. The church is not some place that should adopt the principles of the world, but the church should be a trouble to the world. This is not what we're seeing in syncretism today in the modern churches that are around us. Look in 2 Samuel 18:18. Another use of pillar in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel 18:18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. See, the church has been designed to specifically operate in the way that Jesus Christ set it up. He gave the instructions for it. And some people say, I don't need the church. I can have my own church in my own place. I have a place on my porch, or I have a place out under the tree. That's my church. I've had people tell me that. Well, that's like Absalom's place. It didn't end up very well for Absalom. And it won't end up very well for those who think they can have the church outside of the instructions that Jesus Christ gave. 1 Kings 7:21. This is our last look at pillar in the Old Testament. Then we'll move over to the book of Acts just briefly. 1 Kings 7:21. 1 Kings 7:21. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. Well, we know about Boaz. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer. He was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jachin, his name means he will establish. And so in those two pillars that we had supporting the temple there, we have a picture of he will establish Jesus Christ. In other words, the church is going to be a place where you hear of the Redeemer, where salvation is made very plain, where the scriptures are brought out and the need of man to repent of his sin and to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation, that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, that he died upon the cross bearing our sin, paying the price for our sin, is going to be emphasized and taught, and Jesus is going to be the center of the church. It's all about him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If Jesus is called the Word in Revelation 19, when he comes, his name is the Word of God, then the preaching ought to be about Jesus. He ought to be the focus, not the focus upon self. We go to the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is the acts or deeds of the apostles. It's how they put into practice the things that they were taught concerning the local church. And we find the book of Acts chapter 1, it was a place of prayer. And throughout the book of Acts, it was a place of giving. They gave all that they had. It was a place where the word is preached and souls are saved and baptized. They had godly deacons and the word of God was emphasized. I would challenge you to stand the deacons of these mega churches up against the deacons of fundamental churches that are staying with the Word. You'll find a very eye-opening picture. They had godly deacons, they were men who were filled with the Spirit. The Word of God was emphasized. They sent out missionaries. The mega churches are cutting back on missionaries. Contemporary churches are putting money into the entertainment field and leaving the support of missionaries. They stood for the truth, even if it meant persecution. The modern day church doesn't want to be persecuted. What I'm saying to you this morning is that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, willing to stand for Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God, even if it means persecution. And we are here not to entertain ourselves or to have a bunch of jumpy going on up here on the platform. Praise God and all that junk. But we are here to grow closer to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church. No place do we find in all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, do we find that the church was a place of entertainment. It was a place that brought worship to God, and it was a place where we meet with God. Matthew 18:20, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So for the record, as pastor of Calvary Bible Baptist Church, I choose to stay with the Word of God. I'm not a syncretist. I'm not interested that because it's becoming popular today to bring the world into the church to get people. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what the Bible says. How do I reach people with the Word of God? How do I win souls according to the Bible? I'm going to stay with the Word of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And boy, in many churches today, it's hard to find the truth. The truth is soft-soaked, it's covered up, it's wetted down. We need the solid Word of God to stand for the truth of the Word of God. And someday when our Lord returns, always those words ring in my ear, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I intend that he'll find it here. As best as my ability as a pastor, we will try to maintain and stand and earnestly contend for the faith and not go along with the worldly crowd today that wants to bring the world into the church. Syncretism. Remember that term, because you're going to see more and more of it as time goes on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word.